Welcome to the SearchStorageChannel.com Channel Expert Podcast. This is Sue Troy, site editor for SearchStorageChannel.com. This two-part podcast series is on implementing a modern backup strategy. Joining me is Curtis Preston, backup expert and executive editor for TechTarget Storage Media Group. Thanks for joining me, Curtis.
Glad to be here.
So in the first part of this podcast series, we'll be discussing the essential goals of a sound backup strategy that you can use with your customers. Curtis, what technologies should an integrator or VAR be familiar with when designing a modern backup system?
Well, it's definitely moved past the just knowing a few backup packages and being familiar with the modern-day tape drives. They should be conversant in CDP, deduplication, both source and target deduplication, and also near CDP and replication. All of these can be a part of a modern-day backup system.
Okay, and why is disk such an integral part of a modern backup system?
Well, the problem is tape. Tape is great. It's cheap. It stores a lot of data relatively reliably. I would say less reliably than disk, but in terms of the gigabytes and gigabytes, or really petabytes, that we have stored on tape over the years, it does a good job. The problem is that tape has gotten faster and faster, and it's a problem of the industry that tape drives had to get bigger, you know, to sell more tape drives. So just because of physics, as the tape drives get bigger, the tape drives get faster, and as they get faster, they get harder to keep happy. Well, disk drives, unlike tape drives, are happy with fast and slow. So disk drives can be used as a buffer to tape. That's sort of their initial primary use that a lot of people use them for. And then secondly, the thing with disk is that there are a number of technologies such as CDP, near CDP, and replication that are only possible if disk is the target.
Mm-hmm. And so speaking of CDP, how does CDP and near CDP play into the strategy?
So it's a little difficult to answer in this format, you know, given the time that we have. But I would say that it should be something that's examined. CDP and near CDP allow for things that are simply not possible with regular backup, right? You can do backups throughout the day. You don't have this concept of a full backup every once in a while, or even a nightly backup. It's a backup that's continuously happening throughout the day. And the differences between the two: with CDP, you can recover to any point in time. With near CDP, you can recover to significant points in time, such as an hourly snapshot that you take. The nice thing about both of these products is that they can offer some really interesting backup possibilities to some companies. If they're smaller, they could really consider using this as pretty much for everything, especially if they tend to be Windows-centric environments, because one of the challenges with CDP and near CDP with some of the products is that they tend to be Windows-centric and they forget the other operating systems and applications that are out there. Larger companies use CDP and near CDP to meet specific requirements that they simply can't meet, a database that's just simply too large, or an RPO, recovery point objective, that's simply impossible to meet with regular tape or disk backup.
Mm-hmm. And are they, like, what's the drawback to CDP and near CDP? Are they expensive, difficult to implement, or?
Well, it's mainly familiarity, right? So people know backup. They know tape. They get it, right? They know how it works. CDP is, for all its wonder, it's weird, right? It's completely different than what people are used to, and it's harder for them to grok it, right? Mm-hmm. To get that concept, and they don't like things that they can't understand. It seems new and risky, And it is new and risky. Mm-hmm. Comparatively speaking, backup has been around for decades, and CDP has been around for a couple of years, and near CDP. Really, the biggest challenge is simply getting the customer comfortable with the solution. As to whether or not it's more difficult to implement than regular backup, an argument can be made both ways. It may be more difficult to implement, depending on a number of factors that we don't have to go into, or we don't have time to go into. But it can absolutely be actually easier to implement than regular backup, mm-hmm. and certainly the restores can be much easier.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what about deduplication? I'm sure one of your favorite topics.
Yeah, I joke about the fact that my license plate says Mr. Backup, and I'm thinking about getting it changed to Mr. Dedupe, because that's all anybody wants to talk about these days. It certainly is the topic of choice, between VMware and deduplication. That's all anybody wants to talk about. Well, dedupe is a real game changer. If the customer is a more traditional customer and they want to stick with the traditional backup products, dedupe is a way to use disk as a primary target for, significantly less money than it would cost otherwise. And so it's a real game changer. And it also allows person to continue to use traditional backup if that's what they want to do and still replicate that backup off-site, which is just a wonderful thing. If they want to go a little bit, farther down the adoption curve, they could also consider source dedupe, which is backup software that has dedupe built into it. And you can use that to back up remote sites, mobile data, basically data that previously had either been ignored or had been backed up in ways that we just, we don't talk about because it makes us feel uncomfortable. So dedupe can make backing up that remote data and mobile data much, much easier and much more secure than ever before.
And much cheaper too, right?
And much cheaper, because if you look at the cost of what people do with the remote sites, I would say if they were doing it right before, then absolutely, dedupe would be much cheaper. A CDP and near CDP is also another way, right? So it's, there are, because they are also incremental forever and can also be used to replicate. But both of these technologies, if they were doing the right thing before, which included, local tape-based backups and then daily trips to an off-site storage vendor, then absolutely this is going to be less expensive. It may or may not be less expensive if what they were doing before was not the right thing to do, such as, a local DAT drive that would just get repeatedly overwritten every night. And you do find that in many companies, the remote sites tend to get ignored and their backups tend to, really stink as a result. So it is cheaper than doing the right thing without it. But it may or may not be cheaper than what they're currently doing.
So do you have people that come to you and are disappointed when they figure out what the reality is in terms of cost savings?
Oh, absolutely. Backup is one of those things where it tends, it's the back of the bus kind of thing. Mm-hmm. They'll spend all kind of money to make their application faster or all kind of money to, do whatever. But, backup has to really prove itself. And really, in the end, all it is an insurance policy. But I have very little patience with, customers that want to justify to me, well, we'd rather continue doing this thing that has all of these horrible, horrible things attached to it. No one could possibly defend continuing to do it this way, but it does have the one feature that it is less expensive. Mm-hmm. So really, the only thing that you can do at that point is to sell risk, right? Mm-hmm. And the concept of risk do you really want to be that company who, loses data, either loses it in the way of, losing control of it and showing up on CNN because you lost some tapes that were being, if you're doing the right thing, your tapes are being moved all around the planet if you've got remote sites. if you're doing the wrong thing, you could lose the data in terms of, you know, just, you know, you had a disk drive problem and you lost the data. And depending on what type of company you are, that also can either cost you significant amounts of money or also be a public event. And do you really want to be that company?
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so changing gears a little bit, how do designs for data centers and remote offices differ?
So in the data center, you have typically all the bandwidth that you want. You have, you know, gigabit Ethernet. You know, we're starting to get 10 gigabit Ethernet. And if you don't have enough bandwidth, it's simply a matter of buying a new switch or multiple switches. The remote site, bandwidth comes at a cost. You know, even, you know, I've had clients that are, you know, telecom companies, and they tell me that even bandwidth, it costs even, you know, it costs money to them as well, right? So you pay for bandwidth in the remote site as a service. And so the bandwidth is nowhere near what you have available in the data center, and therefore you've got to take that bandwidth into consideration. And so the solution that you're, if you're considering in any sort of remote backup ability, you've got to have a solution that takes that small amount of bandwidth into the equation.
Which means what in practical terms?
Well, it means that you need to examine CDP, near CDP, or dedupe as your way of doing those remote sites. It is no longer necessary or considered practical to use tape as the remote site. You know, it used to be that, you know, I haven't checked the stats lately, but DAT drives, DDS drives, were the number one installed tape drive in the world, and mainly because of remote sites, right? And companies would sell them, okay, it's your remote site, you got 10 remote sites, we're going to sell you 10 DAT drives and, you know, 20 copies of backup exec, right? That used to be the way you did it, and then let the customer figure out how to move all those tapes around and secure those tapes and all that sort of stuff. That is no longer acceptable for a number of reasons. Those tape drives would need to be encrypted if that data is being moved around. And more importantly, there are options now that allow you to back up that remote data both locally to that remote site for faster recoveries and then also remotely to a central site to secure it in case of disaster recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And those solutions include CDP, near CDP, and deduplication.
Mm-hmm. And so you wouldn't have a situation where you have a random employee at the remote site responsible for handling the tapes.
Yeah, goodness no. basically, you know, one of my mantras with regards to backup is the more you can get the human out of the equation, the better. And that goes for trained IT personnel, and it goes double for, you know,
people that aren't trained.
The non-trained, non-IT person at the remote site who can't be bothered to swap the tape drives out. And I've got many, many stories of what happens when you put that responsibility into the hands of people who see it as an annoyance.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So reporting and monitoring, should that come from a backup vendor or from another kind of vendor?
Well, I think that if a customer is a customer of a particular backup product, they should examine that product, if that company provides a reporting product, they should examine that one first because it is possible that they will offer more advanced, increasingly integrated reporting than anyone else because, you know, they know that product. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they will have the best reporting. There is an entire industry of companies that do nothing but monitoring and reporting. And I would recommend that they also look at the chief competitors in those in that space and examine how those products work. I will say that you get what you pay for. Some of the backup software products have reporting built into them, and it's, you know, free. And then some of those same products will then offer an advanced reporting tool that you pay extra money for. Well, if you're going to be paying extra money for it, you should also examine the competitors' products and see what they offer.
Mm-hmm. And the built-in reporting and monitoring utilities?
The ones that are free?
Yeah. I mean, would they ever suffice for, like, a small company?
It's a challenge to say where the line starts when a reporting tool is sort of mandatory, right? The real challenge for a small company is that even if they had a reporting tool, who would be looking at it, right? Mm. So generally speaking, you know, it depends on what you mean by small company. Is it a small company with IT staff or, you know, just the guy that happens to do, you know, computer stuff, right?
Right.
So it depends on what is a small company. For what I call a TSB, a truly small business, they should probably outsource their backup services altogether to a company that just does backup management, right? That mm-hmm. way, that company cares about them and their data, and they will notify them when there's a problem, right? Mm-hmm. If they're a, you know, small to medium-sized business, then they start to get to that point where they should consider doing their own backups and doing their own reporting. And really the question becomes, are they getting, like, proactive notification, right? So, you know, some of the things that happen with larger reporting packages include things like when the backup person isn't doing their job, for example, if the person isn't monitoring things and thresholds happen, like, you know, more than 20% of the backups are failing, or a given server goes 3 days without a backup, or something that should cause somebody to be upset, reporting tools can bubble that information up, right? It can escalate it automatically and send an email to the boss, and the boss can say, hey, you know, what's going on over here, right? Because the biggest problem with backups in both small and large companies is invisibility. So it is a really easy argument to make when you're a large company because you tend to have multiple backup servers. You also tend to have multiple backup products. So it's a really easy argument to make for a reporting tool in a large company. The smaller companies, it's going to have to be a call that they're going to have to make. But mm-hmm. frankly, I am a fan of completely outsourcing that entire idea mm-hmm. to a service.
Well, that's about all we have time for today. Thanks for joining us, Curtis.
Glad to be here.
This concludes part one of our Channel Expert podcast series on implementing a modern backup strategy. Be sure to tune into part two, where Curtis will examine backup testing and verification strategies that you can use with customers. This has been Sue Troy for SearchStorageChannel.com. Thanks for joining us.